From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It has been raining and snowing this week in some of the driest parts of the country, places in the West that have been left parched by 3 to 5 years of drought. That is providing temporary relief for livestock and for crops, but it's too little too late to fill reservoirs this summer. The drought is troubling farmers and ranchers and prompting cities to adopt unprecedented water restrictions, as NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
From Iowa to Nevada and Wyoming to New Mexico, there's nothing more precious and rare right now than water. And the lack of it is starkly evident in snapshots from around the region. Here in Red Willow County, Nebraska, an auctioneer stands in the bed of a pickup truck as 3 dozen people in overalls and boots inspect a pasture full of farm equipment. 36-year-old Mike McPhee is selling it all after 3 years of drought.
I'm basically getting out while I can get out and not owe a lot of money. And the drought's hurting the in-town businesses, I think, as much as it's hurting the farmers. Everybody's feeling the pinch in southwest Nebraska. You can only squeeze so much, and it's coming to the point where there's just no squeeze left.
In the last year, more than 4,000 farmers and ranchers called a Nebraska crisis hotline due to drought-related stress.
Farm Hotline, that's Michelle. Yes, Marvin. So you have received foreclosure notice then? Okay.
From a storefront office in Bancroft, Nebraska, hotline responder Michelle Soule chronicles troubled lives.
So the bank decided then that you needed to sell out the cows. 29 cows, 17 calves, and come up with $16,000.
Soule refers callers to financial planners, lawyers, and counselors.
Drought is also creating depression and family issues, and they're short-tempered, they're tired, they're angry, very frustrated, so they're just not responding in a normal manner towards family members.
Drought is also dividing communities, states, and regions as competing demands grow for dwindling supplies of water. In Santa Fe, New Mexico this week, about 80 pickup trucks towed speedboats past the state capitol, boat and truck horns blaring. Among the protesters are John and Sandy Garcia of Elephant Butte, a place that depends on a reservoir which attracts tourists and retirees. Drought and an interstate agreement are forcing release of scarce reservoir water to thirsty Texans downstream, and the Garcias fear the worst.
Water levels going away, people not moving there, people selling their houses and moving away. The whole economy is at stake.
We have filling stations, we have boat repairs, we have storage, we have marinas. They'll all be gone. They'll all go broke.
These water wars distinguish drought from other disasters, says Michael Hayes of the National Drought Mitigation Center.
In a lot of other natural disasters, communities come together and they work to overcome the disaster. In droughts, because it's a limited water supply, frequently there's a lot more fighting that takes place and a lot of lawsuits that occur. There are a lot more conflicts that result out of a drought.
Farmers and ranchers use far more water than anyone else, so they're hit hardest by drought. But some western cities are struggling too. Most depend on deep mountain snow melting in spring, which then fills the region's reservoirs. This massive reservoir on the Utah-Arizona border has 2,000 miles of shoreline. Lake Powell is a jagged blue mirror in a red rock sea. It also has a white bathtub ring 10 stories high. Lake Powell lost enough water to drought to cleanse and quench close to 50 million people for a year.
At Lake Powell, the boat ramp at height is like half a mile from the water. That's the end of the boat dock.
Randy Julander monitors Utah stream flows and snowpack for the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
When you see that kind of a steep decline in your reservoir storage, particularly this time of year, all of the small reservoirs should be completely full, and the large reservoir should be in the 80 to 90% capacity range.
The reservoir that feeds Aurora, Colorado is close to 80% empty, forcing a ban on new lawns, trees, and shrubs. Lawn watering is limited to 2 days a week. Fines of up to $500 are possible. And Aurora is not alone in imposing new water restrictions.
Yeah, this is it right here. I've been here before.
In West Jordan, Utah, Carl Hanover is a kind of water cop. He steps on the lawn of a brick split-level home, a lawn so waterlogged it squishes like a sponge.
So what brought you to this house?
This house was identified by their neighbors as somebody that's watering all the time.
No one answers the door, so Hanover leaves a packet of water-saving tips, then approaches two women across the street, neighbors who've been watching.
On a day we have 2 inches of snow, he'll water that evening. You know, he's watering after the snow melts.
And then while it's raining, he'll clean off his driveway with the hose while it's raining. So.
But the ducks come sit in the water, in the grass, because there's water in the grass.
The women complain that everyone else in the neighborhood is conserving. They want fines for people who waste water. But back in the car, Hanover says the city has to be careful about forcing conservation.
So really what we're trying to get is people to change their lifestyles first. Green industry, car washes, just anybody that would really we would punish by putting in restrictions or putting in fines or telling people they can't wash their cars or they can't go to a car wash that doesn't recycle water, or those kind of things. Those have to be down the road and one of the last resorts that we get to.
Because
we want them to stay in business. We want them to provide jobs for the local economy. Absolutely.
West Jordan is pricing water to make excessive use expensive, as are other cities in the West. 3 to 5 years of drought have triggered an unprecedented demand for water conservation. Some worry that won't last. Zach Frankel is a conservation activist with the Utah Rivers Council.
The measure of success for conservation is its longevity, whether we're doing these programs in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. Our biggest concern is that the conservation planning that we've seen over the last few months will evaporate if we get a large snowpack over the winter. That would be a disaster, and it would be a big loss.
There's also this. Conservation in response to drought accommodates population growth. So the next drought could be worse, says Michael Hayes of the National Drought Mitigation Center.
You'll get a water conservation message being pushed in Denver or Las Vegas or Phoenix, for example. And what that does is it allows the system to be more efficient so that more people can be part of the system. And so that water conservation message does not necessarily help you prepare for droughts, because if all of a sudden now you have more customers in the system, you're actually more vulnerable to a future drought.
Future droughts are certain given the climatological record and the fact that much of the West is dry to begin with, in a state, some say, of perpetual drought mixed with seductive periods of wetness. Howard Berkus, NPR News.